Right now, we are going to start with our agenda. I'm going to tell you about the history or the background of this session, where it comes from. This is the first time we hold this kind of session at an ICANN meeting. And, of course, it is related to the regional strategy that has been recently reviewed. Since Abu Dhabi, we have a new regional strategy, and one of the issues which evolves with this regional strategy is the efforts, the outreach and engagement efforts we have carried out. As a matter of fact, we have worked very well by attracting new people from the region into ICANN. We have grown in the number of participants, but we believe there is an area of opportunity to include in quality, to improve in quality terms. And when we talk about quality, we talk about the depth into which we dive into the different issues, participating in the various interest stakeholders group in ICANN. I don't know if we have the PowerPoint presentation with our regional strategy. The regional strategy, as you know, includes four areas of interest. The first one, which we call sector and geographic balance, carries out these efforts, outreach efforts, inviting more people to participate in ICANN, but with a more focused view. And now we want to identify where the gaps are, where we miss people, whether from the private sector in some countries. Maybe we should focus our tools and resources in trying to get these people to fill in the gaps from Latin America and the Caribbean, which are not fully participating at ICANN, and within the same goal, we want to use the tools to find these people. This project, this session, is, and the second one is a policy focus, and we want to achieve meaningful participation. What do we want to achieve? Well, we want to do the following. Even if people don't want to participate in any stakeholders group, we want them to participate in the various PDP processes. You will see that most of ICANN is on one hand a discussion forum, but also an operational platform. But this is a key role too, the one we have here on the screen. ICANN has many processes which deliver results, policies in this case, policies focusing on different areas. There are policies, PDPs that take many years, such as the PDP related to the new GTLDs. 8 years were taken to discuss this program, but at the beginning it was a policy, and policies have many elements in common. They have a similar process, which includes the interaction among several stakeholder groups in ICANN and with the members at large. And after the transition, we believe ICANN needs to expand the diversity in the products and in what we do. Our region has been really active in certain processes. For ICANN and for our community, it's very important that this organization works properly, that it's transparent, accountable, and we have been focusing on that as a community for many years. And it's really great that we are doing this. And we, people from Latin America and the Caribbean, have been actively involved in those processes. We believe that now, after the transition, of course, without neglecting as a community these new powers the community has, we believe we should focus our efforts on policy development. That is what ICANN does. This is what it was created for. So this is the goal of our session now. There are many sessions which deal with the development of policies. There are sessions held before the ICANN meetings, there are sessions during ICANN meetings, and there are sessions where reports are submitted. This one, well, we want it to be a regional meeting so that we can discuss openly in a more intimate environment, so that we can meet the people from our region who participate or who have participated in PDP so that they can share their experience with us and to learn about PDPs that have already made quite a bit of progress and that may be more complex because of the issues they deal with. When we talk about the issues, well, there are many projects we will have in this area of interest so that the participation of Latin America and the Caribbean will be more representative. So we have our agenda. The first one, well, first we will give the floor to Daniel Fink, who will share with us some housekeeping rules. After that, we'll give the floor to members of our community who will talk about their experience participating in PDPs. And finally, as this is the first session of this kind, my colleague Emily from the Policy Department is here with us, and she will talk about how a PDP is carried out, how it is started, what steps are involved, and she will highlight some of them. She will talk about some PDPs which are taking place right now. And she will also talk or show to us where we may find out about the progress of each PDP. So thank you very much for being here. And now we'll give the floor to Daniel, who will share with us some housekeeping rules.
Good to see you all here. So as Rodrigo said in the beginning, for those who joined a few minutes before, we have interpretation in Portuguese, Spanish, so please feel free to use your headsets. And finally, for controlling the time, Rodrigo Salcedo will be helping the speakers to inform you with these flags about the remaining time. Okay, thank you very much. Enjoy. One more thing. We are. Sending this form for you to sign your attendance. Okay, thank you.
Bueno, entonces vamos con nuestros tres.
Rodrigo de la Parra speaking, so we'll give the floor to the three members of the community. And first, we will have Rubens Kuhl, who will talk about his experience and participation in PDPs.
Warning for those going for headsets that I will speak in Portuguese, taking advantage of the rare opportunity of having Portuguese interpretation at ICANN meetings. So thanks for that in this time. Eu sou Rubens Kuhn, eu trabalho no...
I'm Rubens Kuhn. I work at NIC-BR. That is both a register for country code, CCTLDs, and register for IP addresses and GTLDs. So we are spread in all pillars of ICANN. And my task in NIC-BR are the policies for GTLDs, policies. My mission when... As to the policies of new GTLDs, the policies were ready. We had the applicant guidebook, and everything was ready to be launched. So I had to participate in this round based on what was developed beforehand. And during that time, I thought that we could do some things differently. So afterwards, I decided to put my money where I had put my mouth, as we say in Portuguese. I should help to improve this process for the next round. So I decided to invest in policy development to continue the new GTLDs. I like to focus on two points that highlight that the importance of participating in this policy development, especially for us in Latin America. And one of the points was the GTLDs, geonames. This was very close to our hearts for us in Latin America, because two companies from outside Latin America requested names that many of us inside Latin American, like .Amazon and .Patagonia. And .Amazon is still not defined yet, but .Patagonia, the registrant gave up. So one of the issues of the PDP is geonames. So we have work track 5 that discusses precisely that. Another issue that's being discussed is vertical integration that says that the register can directly, the registers. This is very important for us in a region where few countries have ICANN accredited registrars, including Brazil. We have 200 million inhabitants. We don't have a single registrant accredited by ICANN. So we depend from the large retails and the wholesales of registers. And we have very little access. .LAT is facing this problem, and this is being discussed in the PDPs. So I wanted to tell you that often you want to participate in the PDP, saying this can be improved, it's not very good. So there's a good reason to participate in the PDP. And PDPs are really important for us in Latin America. We have needs that are very specific, are unique for us. And if we don't participate, nobody will remember these issues or take them into account. And I haven't seen anyone from Latin America except me in PDP. I participate in one or two, and I haven't met other people from Latin America there. So I believe it is very important for other Latin American and Caribbean people to participate in the PDPs.
Barlett Morgan, por favor.
Rodrigo La Parra speaking. Barlett Morgan, please.
Good. This mic seems to be fighting with me. Hello, everybody. Thanks to the GSE for inviting me here. I'm Bartlett Morgan. I'm from the Caribbean, and I've been involved with ICANN just for a little bit of time now. And what I really just wanted to do very briefly today is just to kind of share my experiences so far in the policy development process. I often say to people, you know, as regards ICANN, that if you stop and take away all the fluff, we're really just all here when we run up and down at these meetings to do one thing, which is ultimately to further the policy development agenda of ICANN. Now, as it regards my own introduction into that process, by way of background, I'm a lawyer, and I've always been interested in technology policy, law and policy. And, you know, I was sort of curious about, you know, finding a practical avenue to sort of give life to that. And by chance, some years ago, an existing community member mentioned to me that ICANN might be a good fit for persons with my interest and my background. My background is also in information technology. And so I did my own research and came across the GNSO and the work they were doing there. I reached out to them about joining one of their working groups. This was the IRTP Part D. I mean, in this context, the details don't really matter, but long and short, basically, you know, the process by which when you have a domain name, you want to transfer it from one registrar to another. That's really the essence of the whole thing and the policies that surround that process. So I got involved with that process. And what I think was important for me, beyond just, you know, I mean, being dragged along and learning all these new terms and acronyms you've never heard before and so on, was the fact that based on how ICANN operated and operates, I was made to feel welcome and an equal participant at the table. And this was from both staff and the community as well. Because one of the things that was important for a newcomer to the policy development process is support. When you don't understand things, people who can guide you and people who can help you to frame what you're doing in a larger context. And that was very important for me. There are a lot of community members I could point to. I see some of them here around the place who sort of helped me, sort of held my hand in the initial years just to help me to have a sense of what I was doing and the importance of it. So over time, that was the initial sort of introduction. And over time, I've sort of switched hats because I'm now a part of the at-large community. I'm now on the at-large advisory committee. And in that capacity, we also do, I mean, policy development, but from a slightly different angle, in that we're now concerned with end-user interests and ensuring that that's protected in the policy development processes of ICANN. And so in another way, when policies are developed in the different SOs and AACs and it comes before us, it then presents an opportunity for us to have input on behalf of end users, you know, from Latin America and the Caribbean included, into those processes. And that's a large part of what I do now. Now, the time is running out, and I think I've really sort of made some of the key points, because truthfully in all of this, what I ideally want to see is more of us from Latin America and the Caribbean jumping in instead of just observing from a distance. It's important to jump in. And very often I've heard from persons who say, well, you know, I'd like to, but I just don't have the time. But I have news for you. There's still a way to jump in if you don't have the time. It's to simply observe the processes. You know, I mean, that's one of the options available very often. You can simply join a mailing list, for example, and not be an active participant, but simply to observe. Because, I mean, even though you're not doing anything actively, I mean, there's a lot of knowledge that's being transferred still, and it creates the groundwork for some point in the future when you may be better able to actively contribute. My time is up, so I'll stop there. Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
De la Parra speaking. Thank you, Bartlett. And now we give the floor to Martin Silva. Martin Silva. Hello. I'm going to use the timer because I want to behave today. I'm Martin Silva. I'm from Argentina. I'm going to speak Spanish for once. Nowadays, I'm a GNSO counselor. That means I am the manager. I am part of a group of managers, people who manage these PDPs. This process is related to generic names, that is, the rules relating the names which are not .country. Those that are CCs are within the GNSO, and I am part of a group that manages those processes. Being a manager means participating in those processes. So I decided to work in the right protection review mechanisms. I work for that group, and I've chosen it because of my training. I'm a lawyer by training, so in trademarks and in the weights and balances, I was interested in the way brands are protected, and I wanted to participate in this process to understand how the balance was achieved, how the multi-stakeholders system would reach consensus, take into account all the different interests. I was a fellow first, but soon I found a house among the non-commercial stakeholders groups. And I am focused in protection of brand rights. That these are mechanisms that protect brands from a non-commercial point of view. So it's a group where there are plenty of lawyers working in the IP area. I represent the other side of IP, the interest of a user of having a domain name with his or her name, or an NGO who wants to have a domain with an acronym, those names that are not protected the way brands are protected. This process started in 2016 or late 2015, and there are two steps. Step one is related to right protection mechanisms that are used for the new domain names, for example, the Trademark Clearinghouse or the URS. Rapid suspension mechanism created because of the large number of new domain names that were coming in. And the second phase is the mechanism which we know, the UDRP system, which we use in Latin America to protect our brand names when we talk about generic names. So we have all these mechanisms. We are now in phase one. We are reviewing protection mechanisms for the new domain names. Right now, we are going through the URS, the rapid suspension mechanism. And when we come to the end of this, we would start, in theory, with phase two, which is the review of these basic processes. That is the generic rules, which we have been using for 10 years now. So it's a very important review, because first it will have an impact on the next round of new GTLDs. And secondly, because it hasn't been updated for 10 years. So from the economic point of view and importance point of view for the DNS system, it's key. That is, who may dispute a right on for a name, which is like the registry rules. It's a way, it's a second stage once you have registered a domain name.
Although the group in itself is rather difficult to follow because at times discussions are too specific, particularly in relation to new domain names, I encourage you to join it. Because though it looks complicated, if anyone explains terminologies, etc., it is manageable, and it is extremely functional in the sense that people work to progress. And my time is over, so here I am for any question you have on this BDP or any other one. This is mine because I'm a counselor, but I can help you with others. Rodrigo speaking. Thank you, Martin. Thank you to all of you. Three, as you can realize, there is a substantive engagement of Latin American and Caribbean participants in these processes. Certainly has to be enhanced and increased in number. And the invitation is open. So thank you, Barlin, Ruben, and Martin, for your presentations. Now let's get familiarized with the policy development process, their steps, who can participate, how can you join. And for that, I have my friend Emily Barabas, who is from the GNSO Policy Development Support. She will have two parts in her presentation. The first will be on the PDPs, and the second is going to make a special focus on one very interesting and active PDP at this meeting. If you have any interest, perhaps it could be a good chance to participate. Emily, you have the floor.
Thank you, Rodrigo. I'm going to be speaking in English, so anyone who needs headphones for that, please go ahead and put them on. So my name is Emily Barabas. I'm on the policy support team, as Rodrigo said. The role of our team is to help policy development process working groups be successful. So we draft documents, we do research, we do logistical support, and we help out in events like this to reach out to new people and share information about the work of these working groups and how to get involved. And maybe I'll start with a couple of questions. I'd like this to be as interactive as possible, so it's helpful for me to know a little bit about all of you. So who has been involved at all with policy in ICANN, policy development processes? Anyone? Okay, so a few people. And how many of you interact with ICANN in a different way? So, for example, as a contracted party in a more operational sense? Anyone? Okay. And who's from the business community? Intellectual property owners, something like that? Okay. Civil society? Couple? Contracted parties, registries and registrars? There's still a lot of you in this room. Who's left? Governments? Oh, sorry, governments, of course. A few. Okay.
Fellows.
What am I missing?
Fellows.
ISPs, fellows. Yep. CCNSO? Perfect. CCTLDs? Cool. Okay, thanks. That's really helpful. Okay. So I'm going to control my own slides if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, great. So we're going to talk a little bit about what a policy development process is, since most of you are not yet involved in policy development processes. And then we'll just talk about some highlights. I'm going to focus on one PDP in particular and touch on a couple of others, and Martin had spoken to one of those already. And what I'll try to do is highlight some opportunities for engagement. As we've just mentioned, it's kind of a big commitment to really dive into a PDP, especially the ones that have been going on for quite a long time. But there are ways that you can engage in a sort of more targeted way if you haven't been involved in them in the long term, and we'll talk a little bit about those opportunities. So first, this might just be a review for a lot of you, but the ICANN community has these different sections, right? There's supporting organizations and advisory committees. And the supporting organization, so the country code name supporting organization, the generic name supporting organization, and the address supporting organization are the ones that make consensus policy, so policies, and we'll talk about what that actually means. But they have a sort of special role, and they go through these processes to make certain kinds of decisions about the sort of rules of how the DNS works. So, and then there's advisory committees, right? There's at large, the GAC, the Government Advisory Committee, the ESSAC, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the Root Server System Advisory Committee, and they play more of an advisory role in policy development. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like. But just to orient, we're going to talk right now about the GNSO, or the Generic Name Supporting Organization, and policies developed there. So what is the GNSO PDP? The ICANN bylaws gives the GNSO a specific role, and that role is for the GNSO to be responsible for developing and recommending to the ICANN board substantive policies relating to generic top-level domains. So specifically, and Martin was talking about how he's on the GNSO Council, and the GNSO Council's role is to manage that process and sort of help to coordinate the work and act as a liaison to the other parts of the ICANN organization and the ICANN board. And the working groups are sort of these bottom-up processes, open processes that can develop these policies that are then passed on to the council. Any questions so far? Great. And you can put questions in the chat as well if that's easier. So what is this process? You can see that it's quite long. There are a lot of steps. The type is really small. The main thing is that there's a specific process that's used, and the purpose of that is to get as broad input as possible from different parts of the community on a particular issue area. So how does this happen? The first thing that happens is that an issue report is requested, and that basically scopes out the problem that's trying to be solved by this process. So the GNSO Council can request an issue report. Advisory committees can request an issue report, or the ICANN board can do that. And as you can see here, there's little people, and they keep appearing in this process. And each of those is an opportunity for the broader community to provide input. And when I talked about, places where you can get involved, public comment is really, really essential. It's actually quite easy to do. There's a website. You can write something really short. You can write something much more extensive. But the first opportunity for you in this process to get involved is to add a public comment to that issue report and give your feedback about, the scope of the issue itself and your experience with it in the work that you do. That initial report is then revised based on the public comment period, And then the GNSO Council can initiate a policy development process. And now we're kind of going into this orange area in the Z. And that's the actual work of the working group. A working group is formed. The working group does outreach to different parts of the community to get input on the issue areas within its scope. It does a lot of deliberating. PDPs are open by nature. Anyone can join. You can be part of a stakeholder group and constituency within the GNSO. You don't have to be. You can be a member of the GAC. You can be a member of the CCNSO. You can just be a person who's interested and is not affiliated with any ICANN structure at all, and you can still get involved. The only requirement is that you fill out a statement of interest, which is it basically says what your interest is in the issues, and that's just for transparency purposes. I work for this company, I'm representing them, so forth and so on. And of course, if you're joining a PDP late, there is also the request that you get up to speed and kind of get yourself informed about what's happened so far so that you're ready to dive into the conversation. But that's basically it. So anyone's allowed to get involved. There's deliberations that take place on the issue or set of issues. Decisions are made by consensus, and there are specific definitions of what consensus means in this context. And eventually, often after years, as some people have already said, this process is pretty slow and deliberative by design, an initial report is produced, and that's sort of the first output. That goes through a public comment period. The report is revised. A final report is produced. It goes to the GNSO Council. The GNSO Council will vote on that report. And then the GNSO Council will make a recommendation to the ICANN board. There's additional public comment, and the board ultimately votes. And if the implementation, if the recommendations are approved by the board, they will go, the recommendations will then go into an implementation phase, which will eventually become operationalized. Does anyone have questions about that general process? So I think the key thing here is really that it's a bottom-up process. There's a lot of people involved. The idea is to get as broad input as possible from the different parts of the community, and that's done both through the structure of the working groups, but also through these opportunities for public comment so that anyone, even those not involved in the process, can then provide their input and have that incorporated into the outputs. Questions, please.
Mark Dardisgaard, Business Constituency. My question is actually about the very, very beginning, because I understand the whole process. What I never understood is the very first step of a PDP. Like, where does the drive come from? Who is the driver of something before it's a public comment at all? Who drives, like, from the stage of this is an idea? Is it staff? Where does that come from?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it can be, and I think I touched on this briefly, so it can be the GNSO Council that can request an issue report. It can be an advisory committee. It can be the ICANN board. And it sort of depends on the issue, but often there's some existing practice or policy that's not working. There's something that's not working quite right, or there's a gap, right? There's a system or an existing policy that isn't quite working in the right way. And through sort of review of that, it's been identified as an issue that might need an updated policy, a brand new policy, something like that. So it's often about looking at how it's working in practice. And, you know, the technology world changes over time. And you can see something like RDS, right? Who is, where, you know, it might have worked in the beginning, but obviously needs change over time, and so there's a need to then review and develop something new. So that's sort of where it comes from in terms of the genesis of the issue report. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to touch briefly on what consensus policy is, because we talk a little bit about policy, and within the GNSO and elsewhere in the ICANN community, there are a lot of different kinds of groups, right? There's cross-community working groups, groups that work on best practices or you know, developing recommendations for different issue areas. But the term consensus policy means something pretty specific in the ICANN world. So all ICANN accredited registrars and registries have contracts with ICANN, right? And there are specific binding legal obligations within those contracts. So the idea is that consensus policy is policy that can change those contracts. So it's developed by the community, and ultimately it can have an impact on those contracts that registrars and registries have with ICANN. Does that make sense so far? And there's a lot of kind of legal language in here, but I'm going to just touch on this at a really high level. So in those contracts with ICANN, registries and registrars basically agree that they will comply with these consensus policies that have been developed under certain specific conditions. And you might hear this term picket fence thrown around. And the general idea is that there are specific areas that can be influenced by consensus policy that consensus policy can cover within those contracts, and only those within the picket fence can be subject of consensus policy. So basically, I mean, the most important takeaway here is that there are just very specific issue areas that are impacted by policy when we talk about consensus policy, policy development, and the PDP process, this very complicated process with many specific steps, has been developed, and you have to follow the PDP in order to make policy that will then influence the contracts of registries and registrars. So it's sort of a deal that's been made between the contracted parties and ICANN that only through these processes can certain changes be made.
I'm going to make a comment in Spanish.
I think it is relevant to make a clarification here. As you see, the PDP here only involves the GNSO and has a rationale, as Emily explained. There is a reason behind. The registries and the registrars have a contractual relationship of a binding nature with the ICANN. So you may wonder here about the two missing sides of the equation. One is the country codes, the CNSO, which somehow they also have global policies, but typically the operational policies of the CCTLD's registries are developed within each CCTLD in an independent manner. That is not a reason not to say why the CCTLDs are not here. We will afterwards talk about how the CCTLD's policies work. However, they also participate of the policies developed at the GNSO because they may be impacting the DNS system. The same happens with the ALAC and the GAC and the others, and the SSAC. They all have a role under their mandates. And the other missing part, or the other part that it's outside this PDP process, is the numbers portion. Numbers and the DSO, they also develop their policies at a regional level. In the history, there have been only 5 or 6 global policies, which actually they were like a sort of coordination agreed at an RIR level. They do not follow the PDP platform. We have some people here, Oscar, he might tell us something about it later on, but they are somewhat outside this. I just wanted to make this minor clarification.
That was really helpful. And just to do a quick time check, what are we targeting to end here? Anyone? Perfect. Okay, great. So let me just talk a little bit about participation. So one of the ways that you can participate is to become a working group member. And we'll talk about some of the working groups that you can join. But like I said, that's definitely a time commitment. It requires often weekly calls, preparation, reading documents. You can also, so obviously if you have a personal stake or a real interest in an issue area, it's a great way to get involved. And another way to do this sort of engagement that I think was mentioned a little bit earlier is to become an observer. And that basically means that you follow the mailing list, but you're not an active contributor, so you don't attend the meetings, for example, but you can still follow along. And all of the deliberations of all of these working groups are completely public. So even if you're not an observer, even if you're not signed up at all, you can access all the materials for a working group, including recordings, transcripts, documentation, and so forth. So if you're just interested in learning or want to follow along, you can do that, you know, without any obligation at all. And participation does remain open throughout the life cycle. But as I mentioned, if a working group has been going on for 2 years and you join, it's really hard to catch up. So it's often a great idea to join either in the beginning or take advantage of some of the other engagement opportunities that I'll touch on in a second. So ICANN meetings, we're all here today. ICANN meetings are great. They're really helpful. A lot of the work, though, happens remotely throughout the year, which is great. It means that if you can't attend ICANN meetings, you can still be a really active participant in this work. So we have a number of tools that are really helpful, like Adobe Connect here that we use for remote participation. So don't let that be a barrier if you can't attend ICANN meetings. It really is something that's going on all the time. Any questions about that? So actually, before I dive into some particulars, I'm just going to touch on a couple of other things. So one is public comment period. I mentioned that. Public comments are great. They're a huge opportunity for you to talk about your own experiences with some of these issue areas. You can just speak to one very specific problem or topic that is of interest to you, or you can comment on an entire report and really go into a lot of depth. How many of you have ever contributed to a public comment at ICANN? Anyone? Yeah. And if we have time at the end, I'd love to for you to talk to your experiences with that too. But it's really an important way and for everyone to get involved. And it is taken into account in all of the reports and things like that. I mean, there's a whole process for making sure that that feedback is part of the process. So I would say that that's actually, if you're thinking of, you know, how can I get involved with policy, public comment, I would say, is really number one in terms of getting started. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about one of the PDPs. And we have Rubens here, and he's actually one of the, he didn't really say this, but he's one of the co-leaders of this working group. So, you know, at any time, Rubens, please feel free to leap in and talk about some of the specific areas as well. So one of the working groups that I support is the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Policy Development Process Working Group. And this working group is about looking at the 2012 round of the new GTLD program and thinking about what worked, what didn't work, what should happen differently in the future for this program. And it's an incredibly broad set of topics that are included with that. And because there are so many topics, it's been broken down into a series of work tracks or sub-teams. Each one looks at a different area. So one is looking at overall process support and outreach. One is looking at legal and regulatory issues. Another one is looking at string contention, objections, and disputes. Work track four is the one that Rubens leads or co-leads, looking at IDNs and technical and operational issues. And then the fifth one, which Rubens mentioned, is focused on geographic names. So the reason I'm highlighting this working group, besides the fact that it's one of the ones I support, is that it's reaching a pretty big milestone. The initial report is expected to be published next month, and that's a huge opportunity for public input and public comment. So if you're interested in new GTLD policy, this is a place where you can dive in. So here are all the topics that are included within this this working group. There's something for everyone in here. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I'm going to highlight three issue areas in this PDP that might be of interest and are often sort of hot topics of discussion within the ICANN community. So the first one is community applications. So in the 2012 round of the new GTLD program, applicants had the option of applying as a community-based TLD. So what does that mean? If there was no contention involved in that application, it was taken at face value that this was, in fact, a community or an application that represented a community entity. And I'll mention here that that term wasn't really specifically defined in the program. So one of the questions going forward is, what is a community? What does that really mean? Should there be a priority for communities? But I'll get into that in a second. So if this particular application was in contention with another application, the community-based application went through an evaluation process, and the outcome of that determined whether that application should receive priority for that particular string. So the evaluation looked at a couple of questions, such as how established is the community, how closely is it connected to the string, the actual characters and the word that it represented, what are the proposed registration policies, is there endorsement from this particular community that the application is said to represent. There were a number of questions about whether this was effective in the way that it was implemented, and now one of the questions that this PDP is looking at is sort of, is this concept useful? What should it look like in the future? And should the evaluation criteria be changed? Does anyone have questions about that? Okay. Another topic area is about applicant support. So in the 2012 round, there was a program to develop support for applicants from developing economies that included a fee reduction program for those who qualified and a service directory to help applicants connect with consultants or service providers who could help them with their applications. But the program was quite underutilized. It wasn't used very much at all. And so now the question that's being asked is, what needs to change in the future for this program to make it effective and to meet the goals of the program? Questions about that? So this is one where we really need input, and especially from the region. It's fine for a bunch of people from the U.S. to, you know, sit in a room together and speculate about what worked and what didn't work, but this is one of the topic areas where it's incredibly important to have feedback from people who could have used the program and didn't, or considered using the program, or might consider it in the future. This is a really huge program area where there's still a lot of room to develop recommendations, and so during the public comment period, input is absolutely welcomed, and Ruben said something to say about that.
Just a comment that this is one of the many aspects where someone has suggested favoring underserved regions, and that while that would be really interesting to level up the playing field, every time someone suggests that, someone out there thinks of a way to game it, like establishing a corporate presence in an underserved region, in a country in a poor country, and benefiting from that without really being someone from that. So while I would like to have this kind of mechanism for underserved regions, we might want to look into underserved markets or underserved verticals. And those usually fit our description, because that will also be the case of most of Latin American countries. But that could also be the case of a community or a niche or a very specific sector that doesn't have financial means and could also have support. For instance, I mentioned that there are cities in the U.S. that are poor enough to also be benefited by such programs. So if you try to look with that angle, we avoid the gaming problem, and we also address other financial inequities, not only the regional ones.
Yo solo quería destacar que es a través justamente.
Just want Mr. De La Parra speaking. I would like to say that it's through the PDP that all these rules are reviewed, all the learnings achieved through the last round are being discussed in the new PDPs. This is very important for our region. I don't know if you remember, but there used to be a fee, $185,000 for everybody, and in this program it was brought down to $45,000, but it was not used. It was not communicated well enough. So if we participate in these PDPs, you may influence or give us ideas, as Rubens was saying, about what you think should happen with these programs. This is a bottom-up approach, the bottom-up spirit of ICANN. This is where you can influence the issues, and you don't need to be a member of any working group, of course. You may participate in one stakeholder group, but you may also be involved in a PDP directly because this issue is interesting for you. Or maybe you know of organizations in our region that have been interested in using this or applying for a new GTLD in the past. Maybe now they could get involved. We should wait for rules to be enacted or passed to ask for support. Right now, it's the time to have some influence on this.
There you go. So I'm just going to touch on one other topic area, and this is one that Rubens also mentioned. Thank you. So geographic names. I'm just going to give a little background on that topic area because it's also one of very broad interest. So in the 2012 round, specific strings were reserved. And that means they couldn't be delegated as TLDs. An example of that is the name of a country. So no one was able to apply for that. And the reason for that was that there were a lot of different perspectives about what exactly should happen with geographic names. It's a really sensitive issue. There was a set of policies that were developed by the GNSO. And over time, through different discussions with different parts of the community, the implementation ended up looking quite different from the policies that were originally developed. And for certain types of strings, it was determined that ultimately, for this particular round, they simply wouldn't be delegated at all. But that could change in future rounds. And so that's an open issue now for future rounds of GTLD rounds or windows. Other types of geographic names were included in the reserved names list. So country and territory names were an example of something that was not available at all. But for other types of geographic names, support or non-objection from governments was required. So an example of that would be capital city names. But then there were other types of strings, such as those mentioned by Rubens, that didn't have specific restrictions, and there were differing perspectives on what should happen with those. So Patagonia and Amazon are two really prominent examples. And there are still really different perspectives within the community about how this should be handled. So WorkTrack 5 was recently established. They've pretty much just started their work in an effort to make this as diverse a group of people and as representative as possible in terms of the discussion. There's a joint leadership model with ALAC, CCNSO, GNSO, and GAC. This is a pretty unique thing that they're trying to try to get people from as many parts of the community as possible to feel comfortable in this setting, coming in and talking about their perspectives on this issue. This is one where it's not too late at all to get involved. The conversations are just getting started. If you have an interest in this issue, you can still join the group. You don't have to be involved with the working group as a whole. You can just join this work track and just focus on this issue if that's something that interests you. So some of the questions that they're looking at are what types of strings should be considered geographic names for the purposes of the new GTLD program? So for some people, that should be really narrow. It should just be, for example, country and territory names, the names of cities. For other people, you know, it's a much broader category of geographic things. So, for example, the names of mountains, the names of culturally significant features that are related to geography and so forth. And that's still a conversation within the group, is about what should be considered a geographic name. And then when they have that list of what should be considered a geographic name, they'll also be discussing how should those be treated in future rounds. Should they continue to be reserved, or should other additional names be reserved? Should government support or non-objection be needed? Should another treatment be appropriate? So these are really big questions, and for people who are interested in them, there's still an opportunity to get involved and share your views in the working group. Does anyone have questions about that? Okay. So those are just three areas within the PDP. There are many more, but these are particularly hot topics. There's two sessions at ICANN about this PDP. One happened yesterday. And if you're interested in the recording or the transcripts, you can follow that link there. I think the slides will be shared and catch up on that. That covered most of the topic areas except geographic names. And then there's a session devoted to geographic names later this week on Wednesday, and everyone's welcome to join that. And if you're interested in this working group and want to learn more, there's a link here to the wiki, and that includes all of the materials that the working group has been working on, and you can learn more. So I'm actually not going to talk about this very much because Martin talked about his participation. Oh, no, sorry, RDS. Yes, I will talk about this one. So this is the question about the future of who is. There's been a lot of conversations about GDPR this week and recently, so the European Data Protection Regulation, and that's very much interconnected with this particular PDP. So who knows what who is? Some people not. Okay. So Whois is a system of information about the registration of TLDs. So when you register a website, your information as a registrant and information about the registration of that website goes into a system of information, and that information is publicly available at this time. And there are currently questions about whether that current system makes sense, whether it should be designed differently, who should have access to that information, how it should be displayed, how it should be managed. And this PDP is looking at some really broad questions about kind of how that system should exist from the bottom up. Now, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. There are some short-term operational questions that are being addressed now related to GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. But this working group is sort of looking broadly at these questions. It's been operating for about 2 years now. If you're interested in these types of issues, you can still get involved, although because deliberations have been ongoing for quite a long time, it is rather important to get caught up as much as possible before you dive in. There are two sessions, one that took place yesterday and one on Wednesday, if you're interested in these issues. And again, there's a working group wiki link there that you can check out. So this is RPMs. This is the one that Martin was speaking about. And I won't go into detail because he spoke very eloquently already about the work that they're doing. I'll highlight that there are four sessions. Thanks. Perfect. There are four sessions happening at ICANN this week. Two have already taken place. One is just about to happen and one on Thursday. If you're an intellectual property lawyer, if you are an intellectual property holder, this is a great working group to learn more about. And again, it's been going on for a couple of years, so there's quite a lot of catching up to do. But an opportunity to engage coming up pretty soon is that there's going to be a survey released for those who have experience with some of the specific RPMs that were introduced in the 2012 round. So look out for that survey if that's an issue that interests you, and you can share your experience and provide feedback for future policy development. Oh, that's not supposed to be blank. This had a graphic, and it was a graphic of all the other policy development processes that are ongoing, but you can't see that right now. But there are a number of other PDPs happening, as well as work that's in the implementation phase, which is focused more broadly on kind of operationalizing the policy recommendations. So if you're interested in getting involved and these don't seem like exactly the right fit, but there are specific issues you're interested in, please come and talk to me, and I'm happy to try to point you in the right direction because there's quite a lot of work to do, and we're always happy to have people who are excited to do the heavy lifting of that work. So I'm happy to take any questions about any of this. If anyone has questions. No? And if not, I'll hand it back to Rodrigo. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Emily, for this excellent presentation. I hope it. Well, I'm going to continue in Spanish. Espero que haya.
I hope you have reached the goal of creating interest and making it quite clear that we may change from being reactive to what has been done to become proactive and try to influence the processes as they are developed, depending on the needs of the organization and the region. We have opportunities there. something else which is of interest and which Emily mentioned in her final slide is that once a PDP has been completed, when it is submitted to the board by way of a recommendation, sometimes this comes into the implementation stage. The implementation is the directions received by ICAM or by the staff from the community to do what the PDP says has to be done. They are implementing what they were instructed to do. This is, for example, what we saw with the program of new GTLDs. This program is a result of the discussion of the committee, which tells the staff, you have to deploy and implement this program with these time frames and these rules. We still have 10 minutes left. I don't know if you have questions or comments. If our colleagues from the CCNSO would like to say something about the PDPs within the CCNSO, or if Oscar from LACNIC would like to share his experience with the RIRs. We still have 10 minutes, as said.
Or no.
Rodrigo speaking, or maybe not. Perhaps for the next session, what we'd could do is to give you an invitation in advance, and if you're so kind to prepare a presentation, and we will contact you intersessions to promote the engagement in regional PDPs and capacity building opportunities, because even though we understand the process, when we delve into the issues, we might be confused. She made a question about the WHOIS, and perhaps we can have a session on WHOIS, because the WHOIS is impacting a couple of PDPs. Understanding it is therefore very relevant, not only for the operational point of view, but also to influence. And for us, as a regional Latin American team, it is useful to understand which group in the region might be interested, which might not be here at present. I imagined that the prosecution authorities or the district attorney's authorities might be interested in the WHOIS as well, the law enforcement agencies as well. So I will let him speak a little bit about the RIRs and the PDPs. I'm Oscar Robles. I'm not prepared. I'm the executive director of LACNIC, and this is a portion of ICANN that you might not be well aware of because most of its discussion happens regionally. We, the regional IP registries, hold our deliberations within the region, and it's only in ICANN that we have global policy discussions. As Rodrigo said, there have been only four cases in the history of global policies or numbers, and that is when they are brought to this remit. However, you are invited to join the discussions of regional discussions, which are also open and participatory. And like ICANN, we do not label the various communities as either civil society, governments, providers, or technical community. Just to participate is open to whoever wants to participate. It's not a requirement to be a member of LACNIC to be engaged. Anyone can participate. It is not necessary either to travel, as it happens in ICANN. Most of the discussions are held through mailing lists, and there is a significant policy analysis before our events. The next one will be held in Panama, and there are several policies discussed before each event. Though they are highly technical discussions, actually anyone is welcome to participate and provide your input. Thank you. Rodrigo speaking. Thank you, Oscar, and I apologize for having brought you to the spotlight. Rubens?
Rubens Kuhl. We do not have much time, but I'd like to comment on some of the very interesting features of PDPs that you will need to assess before getting to a PDP. We have two sized PDPs. One is a small one. The other one is immense. We either have the very much focused PDPs. They are very specific, such as procedures or conflicts, settlements for international domains. For example, they are very specific. Or, on the other hand, we have enormous PDPs, WHOIS or RDS PDPs, intellectual property protection mechanisms, new GTLDs. And when you get into a large PDP, it is transformed into very small PDPs. You have a conference call every week or every fortnight. And in these PDPs, what we have is that they are subdivided into working groups or draft teams or so at some point, these large PDPs will increase in size, and you'll be interested in more than one of them, so beware. Firstly, you need to evaluate these enormous PDPs, which may then become or turn into very small and many draft teams and working groups, etc. So it's just a caveat I wanted to mention here.
Sure.
Thanks. So this is Emily Barabas for those remotely participating. So I wanted to mention something that Rubens reminded me of, which is that for those of you who are interested in sort of understanding more about some of these subcomponents and topic areas within much larger PDPs, one of the great ways to stay informed are newsletters. So there are regional newsletters, which touch a little bit on policy. A lot of the working groups are also now developing newsletters where they regularly provide updates about the work that's going on. So if you want to get a general sense of what's going on, what the latest developments are, what people are deliberating on, that's a great way to do it without having to dive into, many, many working group calls. Another great way to get up to date is there are webinars before each ICANN meeting, as well as briefing documents. And Rodrigo's nodding, so maybe some of you know about this already. These are also great ways to just get little bits of information about some of the things that are being covered and what's happening in each of these PDPs. Those are available through the ICANN website, and they can be really helpful for getting up to speed on some of the different issue areas that are available. And then the last thing is that there are also sometimes webinars on specific issue areas that are not before ICANN meetings. So if there's a topic that's particularly interesting to a wide group of people in the community, there might be a webinar on that topic where you can have an opportunity to hear about the topic and also ask questions. So I really encourage people to take advantage of that. Those are things you don't need to travel to do. You can do them all remotely. And it's a great way to follow along. If you're not ready to dive in and devote a lot of time, you can definitely get information that way. Thanks.
Muchas gracias, Emily.
Rodrigo speaking. Thank you, Emily, for this highly useful information. One of the goals we wanted to achieve in this session is to get your feedback on how to facilitate the experience in PDP's engagement. So we might let them know what is next in this PDP strategy, some ideas that are supplementary to Emily's remarks. So perhaps you can tell us what's next and certainly engage you in to join in the next working groups with related projects. Bartlett. Thank you, Rodrigo. I'm Rodrigo Saucedo. For the records, as Rodrigo de la Parra was saying, in our regional strategy, we've divided it into various areas of interest. Specifically, the second area of interest, well, the first is to do a general mapping of Latin American and Caribbean engagement within ICANN. Once we have identified this mapping, that would help us identify the needs for outreach, both in terms of sectors and and countries. And then we have several projects on how we will attract these new people to ICANN. So this second area of interest related to policy and engage our community members and let them achieve a more significant participation has several goals. First, to provide assistance and give them ongoing communication and information both before, during, and after the meetings on everything related to policy. Then we have projects such as this one. I don't remember how many other projects we have, but all projects have to do or aim at allowing the community to engage more productively in policy development processes, which is actually ICANN's core business. And then we have a third objective, which is meaningful participation. That is to say, achieving a more effective participation, how we, through the regional strategy projects, can enable the community members to become engaged or land on various constituencies within ICANN. So this is basically the second area of interest. We're working on with several projects. I cannot give you the link now, but I will share it with you later on, from where you can download the strategy. We've recently issued a call for volunteers to join the implementation committee of our regional strategy. We've received about 56 applications for registration. We are dividing them into various projects. For instance, for this session, we have a working group with 7 people. We are working on the agenda. And this group will be responsible for developing a document describing the objectives, the scope, and indicators. That is to say, what we are seeking to attain with this session, how we can help our members with such session. That's basically it. Thank you. Rodrigo de la Parra speaking. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you, Emily, again, for being with us today. Your presentation has been highly useful to us. All of you, Rubens, Martin, and Bartlett, thank you for your generous sharing of experiences. I hope this session has been of use to the rest of you, and we expect to hold another one in Barcelona. Good afternoon, and thank you very much.